You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome in again. MLB.com Extras in a very special Chicago Cubs off-season edition. I'm Dave Raymond, joined by Phil Rogers. He's stepping in today for Kerry Muscat. And the great thing about Phil is not only the great writer and well-connected, especially in Chicago, but he is already reconstructing this Cubs roster. Now, have you gotten your Samardzija deal done yet, Phil?
No, you know, but when it comes to Chicago society, I'm your go-to guy. So if Theo Epstein was to be having cocktails with Jeff Samardzija in Chicago, he should just expect that that's going to be reported. And I'm sure he did. It's you know, we're obviously at the very start of the postseason or of the off season. You know, the Cubs have made it clear that they want to add pitching depth, not just a high end guy, but maybe a second piece too. And Samardzija is among many pitchers on their radar. You know, it's intriguing because that's where he started his career. Went across town to the White Sox. Things didn't work out so well. So the thought of him coming back to Wrigley Field, you know, is a many subplots involved in that. Very captivating. So something we're going to keep our eye on.
Well, you know, speaking of names that they might be entertaining, and there are a lot of big ones out there this offseason, are they going to be a player in one of the big ones?
Well, that's the $210 million question, I guess. You know, I think all things being equal, Theo Epstein would not play in that free agent market. He would develop players and avoid it. I mean, he well understands the risks that come with that, especially for pitchers. So while David Price is a very good fit, you know, it's by no means an automatic. But just because the Cubs have the resources to do it, they're going to go out and expend them to get him. I mean, they're exploring trades for younger, controllable arms. You know, they feel like they have a 1-2 rotation that they like now with Arrieta and Lester. So they're trying to add to it. It's not like if they hadn't signed John Lester last winter, I think it would be a different situation if Arrieta hadn't developed. But you know, they're sitting in pretty good shape with a chance to come up with an unbelievable 1-2-3 combination. And yes, they can play it for those kind of guys because their lineup, if you think about it, all those young hitters, nobody making that much money, and it's going to be 3 or 4 years before the guys like Chris Bryant and Addison Russell, Kyle Schwarber, Jorge Soler, before those guys are really capitalizing, and their salaries start to become an issue. So the Cubs have this window now when they can play in the high end, but they know the risk in the 6 or 7 year contracts. Those scare them as much as any other teams.
Yeah, yeah. What about, you know, since the starting pitching really is in pretty good shape, do they give any thought to the Aroldis Chapmans and those types that might be out there?
It's interesting, Dave. I have thought that was an area where they would try to upgrade the back of the bullpen. But, you know, so far they've avoided, any big rumors for what that's worth, you know, and Chapman is only a year away from free agency, so I think that limits the return. If people in Cincinnati look at that Craig Kimbrell deal and say, oh boy, this is what we're going to get for Chapman, I'm afraid they're going to be disappointed because you're talking about 1 year of control versus three for Kimbrell. So, you know, I think for 2016, Aroldis Chapman would play very well for the Cubs, but, so far, they've avoided making the kind of moves where you're really paying a lot for one short window. And, you know, I think that will probably remain the case with Chapman. But, you know, it is an intriguing possibility. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the fact that they, you know, by all accounts, had a surplus of tremendous young middle infielders Is there any chance that any of those guys might get moved for a good complimentary piece somewhere else?
I think there are. You know, in addition to, you know, the guys that get talked about the most are Javi Baez and Starlin Castro. You know, one of those guys seems to be what is now being referred to as a redundancy. And I think you could take Javier Baez with his 30 to 40 home run potential as a middle infielder and get a ton for him. I'm not sure Theo Epstein can give up on his big ticket guys. He accumulated them. He's so happy with them. I mean, it's kind of like watching a parent watching these kids. And you know, he is a cold blooded guy. That's how he's made his career. He traded Nomar Garcia Parra shortly after he became the Red Sox GM. He could make the tough call. But I think for right now, I think he wants to give these guys a little more time to play out. Below the surface of those guys, they have prospects like Jaime Candelaria, a switch-hitting third baseman who's in the picture for MVP of the Fall League. Christian Villanueva, a third baseman who's hitting almost 400 in Mexico right now. And a lot of other prospects that don't get talked about a lot. So I think they will be active and they will move some pieces. I'm not convinced it could be the big ticket pieces, but here's the one I'm waiting for, Dave, is I'm waiting for when Rick Hahn and Theo Epstein go out for a beer as opposed to Samardzija and Theo Epstein, because I think there is really a blockbuster trade to be made between the two Chicago teams. The White Sox, who are under the gun to do something to add some hitting, have young, controllable pitching in multiples. And the Cubs have all that hitting, looking for young, controllable pitching. You know, if you get past the fact that their fan bases dislike each other, and you know the ballparks are only 8 miles away, it is a natural that these two teams would fit for a trade over the winter. But so far, again, not much smoke coming out of that potential fire.
Well, I mean, historically, what has that relationship been? Have there been, is there a history of decent trades between them?
Well, Sammy Sosa went from the White Sox to the Cubs. That would be the biggest. But, you know, Sosa at that point was nowhere near being a big power hitter and the guy he became. Historically, they have made trades. And not that long ago, they have made some trades. But, you know, I think it's a bigger deal when the White Sox start thinking about the Cubs. And, you know, the White Sox are in a tough spot to be in the market, same market with this reloaded Cubs team that seems primed to have a nice long run of being a playoff team. And, you know, you're matched up head-to-head with that. Do you want to see them playing in October with one of your big arms, whether, you know, even if it's not a Chris Sale, then maybe it's a Jose Quintana, maybe it's a Carlos Rodon. Those are the kind of names that I think Javier Baez becomes immediately in play on the other side of town. If that's, if the White Sox are willing to talk about those pitchers. But I think for the White Sox, it's a tough political thing to think about the reality of the Cubs potentially going to a World Series and pitching a guy that you traded there. So I don't know if the White Sox can get past it. I think they should because, you know, and Chris Sale's not going to be this young and at the prime of his career, you know, forever. Same thing with the Jose Quintana. I think right now they have a chance to trade high with those guys. And when they have a team that is has so many different needs, it just seems like you've got to be open-minded to everything.
All right, Phil. Well, listen, Cubs, they got the Rookie of the Year. They got the Cy Young Award winner. They got the Manager of the Year. And though it's not going to happen, isn't there an argument that could be made or could have been made for Rizzo as MVP?
The finalists came out, and Anthony Rizzo was not among them. So they're not going to run the table with the awards. They've got three BBWA awards, the first National League team to do that since the Braves in 1991. That's going to be as good as they can do. But I'll say this, if I had an MVP vote, I'm not so sure I would not have voted for Anthony Rizzo. So I'm curious to see I think Rizzo could finish fourth, and I think he could get some first-place votes. I've always tried to look with those votes for teams that made the playoffs, and the three finalists, Harper, Goldschmidt, Votto, all with also-ran teams. So I would have looked past them. I think Rizzo had an MVP year, but I don't think he's going to be recognized as an MVP.
Yeah. All right. Well, Phil, listen, always fun to spend a few minutes with you and enjoy the off season and get back out there and see who else is, you know, dining together or maybe having drinks or something. I know there's something brewing in Chicago, and you need to be on top of it.
Hey, if it's Rick Hahn and Theo, I'll call you first, Dave.
I know you will. All right, there it goes. Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, the Chicago Cubs edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.